everybody, and welcome to the second installment of the Crashing the Net podcast on underfurtherreview.com and nocredentialspn.com. I'm Tom Daly. You can follow me on Twitter at TomDaly2 or at FNNTomDaly. I recommend you follow me on that one. That's more of my business one. It's where I talk about hockey, especially the Washington Capitals. And you can follow my partner and co-worker, I guess colleague would be the word we would use.
Sure.
Mike Callow on Twitter at DCSportsFTW. And you can follow the No Credentials Podcast Network on Twitter at NoCredentialsPN. That's a Twitter page. It will just give you information on shows that are on that website and when they're uploaded and stuff like that. Mike, this is a very important show for us. This is the trade deadline edition of the Crashing the Net podcast. This is my favorite time of year. I believe it's most NHL hockey fans' favorite time of year. It's almost like a rebirth for some fans.
Sure.
Hopefully it will be for the Washington Capitals fans this year.
God, we hope.
But there have been some trades that have already been made, so we'll get right into that. It all really popped off on the 16th of February, which is, you know, a week from where we are today. And some teams that we do not like have been making moves. Because we're in Washington, D.C., and we're Capitals fans, you don't like to see Philadelphia getting better.
Right.
And they're the team that's been the most active leading into this trade deadline, as today the trade deadline is 6 days away from the night that we're recording it. It's probably going to be 3 or 4 days before the deadline when you guys listen to it. But the first trade that the Philadelphia Flyers made was Nicholas Grossman for a second round pick and a third round pick. I don't know how many times the Dallas Stars are going to get frosted. Because they got it last year when they traded Matt Niskanen and James Neal
right.
for Alex Goligoski
right.
to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That was it. Two for one.
Two for one, and Niskanen and James Neal are worlds better than Alex Goligoski is.
James Neal, one of the best players in the NHL right now.
Just got a 6-year, $30 million extension. That's how good he is.
Yeah.
But the Dallas Stars, they gave up one of their only assets. Granted, he is an unrestricted free agent in the offseason, so at best this is just a rental for Philadelphia. But you get some picks out of it, the second round picks in 2012, the third round picks in 2013. The one issue that Philly had, because we know that it wasn't in the forward position, was D.
Right.
So they get their hard-hitting grinder type of gritty defenseman. He's just a gritty guy.
Yeah, he's got less than 10 points on the year. I don't think he has a goal on the year either.
Stay-at-home defenseman.
Yeah, you know he is all about the defense.
And what some people in Washington will hate about him even more is that he picked the number 8. Little Rex Grossman info for him.
Got it.
You didn't see that?
I had that one right over my head real quick.
But
does he just like toss the puck all the way across the ice, hoping it goes to a player, whether it be his own?
It's a saucer pass completely across the ice.
Did you say F it and slap shots it down the ice?
The next trade that Philadelphia made was for Pavel Kobina from Tampa Bay. And I didn't know that Philly had this many picks. Mm-hmm. I guess these were mostly picks that they got in the fire sale they had last year when they traded Jeff Carter and Mike Richards away.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they gave away two picks for Grossman, and then Pavel Kobina got a second round pick, and that's a conditional depending on what Tampa wants, 2012 or 2013, and a fourth round pick in 2013, and a AHL guy in John Kalinske.
Right.
That's what Tampa got. So they deal with two teams that are on the border, Dallas and Tampa. And Philly gets their defense 10 times better than it was because, I mean, what, they had Mazaros.
I mean, essentially what
Lilja, that guy.
I mean, essentially what it was is they're trying to fill the void here by Chris Pronger.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Pronger out for the year with his concussion, which I've heard nothing but bad things so far. I believe his wife came out the other day and said that he's not himself lately, which is bad to hear when someone can't do their everyday life. But that is essentially what they have been lacking, is that true stay-at-home defense overall since Pronger left. So they felt the need. That's where they had to improve, and they have. I mean, they're right back in there in Stanley Cup talks.
Yeah, with these two trades alone, I think that Philadelphia right now is a Stanley Cup champion front runner
in the East.
Well, yeah, to definitely go to the finals.
Yeah,
but I think to win the whole thing.
Okay,
because the only issue they had, minus their 9-year Ilya Bryzgalov contract, is their fifth and sixth defensive guys,
right?
Because they had Marc-Andre Bourdon, who I think has already been sent down. He was on a 2-way deal, and then now they've taken care of those two issues with Pavel Kubina and Nicholas Grossman, who, if they go anywhere else, would be top two, top four defensemen.
Right.
So Philly is now straddling up for a deep playoff run, and that's what the deadline's all about. Another team that we don't like very much, Mike, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Ah, yes.
But they're going the opposite way.
They're fire sailing it up down there. It's hot, hot, hot down in Florida.
Tampa is in 11th place in the Eastern Conference. The Washington Capitals are in 10th place, so they're not much worse than the Caps.
Tampa is 6 points back, but as we've touched on our other DNC podcast, that Tampa is an older squad that won't be able to recover from a 6-point deficit with the Caps in front of them.
So what they're doing is they're getting rid of everything they have for picks.
Right. They want to get younger.
And I think that this is an extremely deep draft in the NHL this year.
Right.
And speaking of which, you could go to nocredentialspn.com and look at my 2012 NHL mock draft if you're interested in that kind of stuff. But I just think it's going to be a really deep draft, and I guess Steve Yzerman thinks so too, because they traded Dominic Moore, who wasn't doing much for them, but is a veteran guy.
Right.
They traded Dominic Moore to San Jose for a second-round pick, and they gave away a seventh-round pick, but really? Like, what's a seventh-round pick?
Yeah, it's just kind of ammo, probably, for San Jose.
So now they have they got a second-round pick for him. They got a second-round pick for Pavel Kubina.
Right.
And a fourth-round pick for Pavel Kubina. They trade today, well, Tuesday, they traded away.
This is ridiculous.
What?
This trade, I mean.
Tuesday, they traded away Steve Downey, who for them was a top six forward. I don't think he's that much. I think that Colorado lost on this deal, to be honest.
I agree with you.
But Colorado needs forwards. So they trade with Colorado Avalanche, trade with the Tampa Bay Lightning, Steve Downey for Kyle Quincy, one of their best defensemen, straight up. I believe that either I or Monica, my girlfriend, has Kyle Quincy in
fantasy
hockey.
So, yeah, he's good enough.
So he's good enough where he'll be picked up in a 10-team league. That being said, nobody has Steve Downey, I don't think.
I held on. I had him for a little bit, and that was it. And he got dropped once I had someone come off IR. He's a fill-in.
So that alone shows you that Tampa lost on that, and after they traded Steve Downey to Colorado for Kyle Quincy, Tampa Bay immediately turned Kyle Quincy around and shipped him out to Detroit, to the Red Wings, for AHL defenseman and a first-round pick. They ultimately got a first-round pick for Steve Downey, who, if I'm trading for Steve Downey, I'm not giving up anything more than a third round pick.
Yeah, I was gonna say a third or a fourth is my highest give.
They also on Tuesday made a AHL deal, which, you know, is not even really worth talking about. But they traded with Chicago Matt Fornataro for Brandon Saigal. I've heard of Brandon Saigal.
Right.
So they won on that trade. Either way, that's going to be an AHL deal at best. But we have two teams that we hate, Mike. One team,
just two?
Well, that have been active so far in the trades that are happening. Philadelphia, who I believe was already good, has gotten at least two times better.
Right, solidifying themselves.
And Tampa now, I'm afraid, will be very good in two or three years.
Yeah, a lot of NHL-ready players or guys that are almost ready in this draft coming up.
Yeah, so...
And there's going to be some people that drop just because that's what happens.
Some other trades that happen not involving the two teams that, as Washington Capitals fans, you always have to keep a close eye on. Ryan O'Mara was traded from the Edmonton Oilers to Anaheim to go play with Coach Bruce Boudreau.
Right, who?
For Brian Rodney. I believe Brian Rodney is a minor league player. Ryan O'Mara was doing some work in Edmonton as a fourth line guy, so Boudreau gets some grittiness there.
Yep, Boudreau's Ducks surging, so they're going to try to kind of make a little mini run here. So,
and I think they will do that.
I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Montreal Canadiens and the Nashville Predators had a little trade. Montreal traded Hal Gill in a conditional fifth round pick for Blake Jeffrion. Is that how you say his name?
Sounds right.
Jeffrion, Robert Slaney, and a second round pick. Second round pick for Hal Gill, I think, is a good day.
Yeah, yeah. Hal Gill was going to be one of the more sought after guys in this deadline. And I guess Montreal felt like they got a good enough deal from Nashville that they just pulled the trigger.
Well,
I personally thought they should have waited till the day.
A little bit later.
To get someone to overpay for him.
But what happened was is I think that this was kind of like, you know, when you're a GM for a team and you don't really have anyone in particular that you want to draft for, like the year that the Caps drafted Anton Gustafsson, son of Bent. Gustafsson, Blake, I'm going to say Jeffrion, is the son of a former Montreal Canadian.
Okay.
So I believe that was like a, hey, we got one of our own back. Plus, they got a second round pick for it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I know that Blake Jeffrion was one of the top three prospects for Nashville.
Okay.
Which is a relatively young team.
Got it.
So I think that Montreal definitely won on that trade. When you do a conditional fifth round pick, which is going to be in 2013, and Hal Gill for a second round pick in this year's draft.
Yep.
And a prospect who, in Nashville's terms, was a top three prospect. So that's one trade that I liked a lot.
And you also have to look at Montreal and these other teams like Tampa Bay stockpiling these second round picks. Is kind of like the NHL or NFL, where you can package those picks with a player or two and get yourself a first round pick. So these teams are stockpiling the young talent and draft picks, but also kind of turning it into more than what it's worth.
We will go to break. This is the first segment of the Crashing the Net podcast. Some moves have been made, and we will talk about moves that have not been made, especially regarding star left winger Rick Nash. This is the Crashing the Net podcast on underfurtherreview.com.